Lay of the Land is an independent production and has a time brokerage agreement with Devil Radio. Opinions expressed may not reflect those of this station, our staff, or our sponsors. Enjoy.
Raindrops are falling on my head.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Nate Timm's Lay of the Land, a show about life and politics in rural Wisconsin. And thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Did a little touring again, and there's a lot of interesting stuff happening as we approach fall here. It's only a few days away, everybody. The harvesting in central Wisconsin is potatoes are fully underway right now. Sweet corn is approaching the end of the harvest season. Down here in the south, harvesting of seed corn is approaching its end. Of course, hay is being harvested, corn is being chopped. A lot of activity going on pre-winter. A big season for our farming communities. And a time for a lot of folks to get on the road, go out and check the apple orchards, take advantage of any free produce that you see in the produce carts that you see along the road, because that's coming to an end shortly. You got probably a couple weeks. That's the most. So we did not have a winner on our question, our trivia question last week about what vegetable crop Wisconsin ranked first in. That was green beans, and we are a big producer of green beans and have been since we started producing those back in the 60s. So, and we're going to have a little different approach to our trivia question tonight. I want to get that right up front so that you can all be thinking of it as we go through the show, because we're going to have a little tweak to it, which is based on the clues that we give throughout the show tonight. We want you to see if you can identify the name of my guest, and we're only giving her first name because we don't want to give away the answer here. So the question is, what is the name of Janet's hometown? And in the course of the show, she will be giving out clues to her hometown, and you got to see if you can add them up and figure out what that hometown's name is. So we also want to remind you that this show is sponsored by Wisconsin Grassroots Network. And if you go to wigrassrootsnetwork.org and click on the donate button, you can help support the show. And in order to stay on the air, of course, we need listener support. So we hope some of you will do that. Go to wigrassrootsnetwork.org. So also, if you want to enjoy some of the podcasts, we have about six different shows now recorded. So you can go to devilradio927.com. That's devilradio927.com, that website. And you can listen to the podcast. And by noon or so tomorrow, you'll be able to hear the podcast of this show. So as we've discussed several times, we talked about the perspective of farmers and people who live on farms on a sense of place. Tonight we're going to focus on the power of place from the village or small town perspective, a little different tweak on that, but really an important one, because Wisconsin is dotted with hundreds of these small communities, really are essential part of rural Wisconsin and of Wisconsin generally. My guest tonight will help to illustrate how growing up in her village impacted her. So welcome to the show, Janet, and thanks for being here. So let's start with your recollection of your village when you were growing up. Kind of maybe paint us a picture of your hometown.
Thank you, Nate. It's good to be here, and thank you for the invitation to join you this evening. Growing up in my small town, you know, I was just a small little innocent Wisconsin girl. And, some of the things that I think stand out for me growing up in this village, there is a lot more agriculture than there is just a lot of family value. And, you know, we would walk to school. Not that that's a bad thing, but we would walk to school. We had different viewpoints on, I think, as a teenager, village limits, basically, right? We had boundaries on where we could go because there were agriculture areas surrounding us. There was a main street that we took laps on. There was a railroad there that went through town. We jump off the bridge, not a good thing. We'd also go tracking on it. If any of you know what tracking is, you'll know what I'm talking about. And the village was quite small. The population when I was growing up in one of the villages, because this village is actually two villages that are basically divided by one street. So the population sign says population in this city and village on one side, and on the other side, it says population on that village. So it was really interesting growing up in two villages that were right next to each other. And a little history of that, this is maybe a little part of the trivia, is they used to have two high schools. Now they have one. There was a big rivalry in that with those high schools and their sporting events and things like that. But the population in where I grew up, the village I grew up, was right around 1,000. And this was in the early 80s. And in Prairie du Sac, it was probably in the 700s. So there was a little bit of an ego thing that we had in our village versus the other village. And at this point, you know, the population has grown extensively. Now one of the villages is at 3109. And the other village is at about 4,300, excuse me. So now the other village has surpassed my first village. So that's kind of interesting to reflect back on the ego that we had, and now they're like surpassing us, so it was kind of cool.
What about the schools, Janet? There's a school where you... I think the school that you went to, you were able to walk to that school, weren't you?
Yes, it was uphill, barefoot both ways.
Where's that school today?
That school has grown very much. It's actually now the village where it was when I grew up there. And it's grown quite a bit. So it's interesting to see that. We have, two elementary schools. We have one... they call it middle school, and then one high school. We walked there again.
So it was about
a mile from where I grew up.
Close enough you could walk, huh?
Close enough, but, you know, also farther than what I think the kids walk today. So, you know, there's a little advance into our second question, but it's very interesting to see that the kids, you know, we would meet on a block and one person would start and we'd meet somebody else. And then we just kind of gathered, you know, the closer we got to school, the more people we got. And that was really fun.
Tell us about the siren, the village siren.
Oh, the village siren. Well, now it's all automatic. But at the time... my dad worked for the village, so we were able to go. We'd walk with him. It was quite an honor to do that. And we would walk with him because it was manual at that time. So we'd be able to push the button and ring the new whistle and then time it out and then push the stop button to make it stop. And, you know, unfortunately, kids don't get to experience that today because everything is really computerized and technology has taken some of that over. But that is one of my fondest memories and one of my strongest memories because it was such a big deal you know. I grew up in a large family, so to be selected, because one of us would go there at a time. So it was like a really huge deal to be able to walk with Dad and go and blow this noon whistle. It was pretty cool.
What about was the traffic through the village, maybe the major highways? Was that what kind of highways were going through the village at that time?
Well, there was it was one of the boundaries when I was growing up. You don't go across the street because it was busy. At that time, it was two-way. One lane in, one lane out. Now it's grown. And because of the volume of people, the population increase, the commuter increase, it's really nice to see the development of that. But at the time, that was one of the boundaries.
What about businesses? So what was the business community like at that time, Janet?
Growing up, there were, small family businesses. We had a dime store. We had pharmacies and drug stores that were smaller. We had a local groceries market. We actually had two of them, which were small and family owned. So they weren't franchises. They didn't have, the gas stations were very small, and so there weren't as many franchises they are today.
Probably not many bars.
Oh, there were several bars. I think I counted like 13 or 14 bars when I was growing up. And there were a lot of bars. Today there's few less. I think I can count on one hand what that was.
And we're going to be going away now for a minute or so. So stay tuned and we'll have more clues and more about this small town that's really important part of sense of place. See you in a few minutes.
The raindrops keep falling on my head, but that doesn't mean my eyes will soon be turning red. Crying's not for me, 'cause I'm never gonna stop the rain by complaining, because I'm free. Nothing's worrying me.